This morning, I'd like to invite you over to the book of Romans, chapter 6, verse 1. Romans, chapter 6, verse 1.
Romans, chapter 6, verse 1 reads this way. It says, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall all be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne this morning. Lord, we ask that you would open up our hearts and minds to hear from you. Lord, may you bless us with the leadership and guidance of your Holy Spirit to worship you in spirit and in truth. And Lord, once again, that you might be highly exalted and lifted up and our lives drawn closer to you and strengthened in the faith that you've given to us. Bless each one, Lord, and enable us to be faithful witnesses of your great grace. And we'll give you all the praise, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message this morning is simply Baptized into Jesus Christ. And we want to look at what does that really mean. You know, we know about baptism, and just for clarification, we're talking about the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are talking about one of the two ordinances of the Lord's local New Testament church, the other one being the Lord's Supper. And so baptism is important. And just for a little bit more clarification, we're talking about immersion baptism, right? We're not talking about sprinkling. I know that there's a group that believes in that. But in this particular case, and I think we'll see the evidence for it here, we're talking about complete immersion, being baptized into the Lord Jesus Christ. So two truths that we'll look at this morning, and that is our representation or our representative union with the Lord Jesus Christ. And then secondly, our realized union with the Lord Jesus Christ. So he represents us in some things that we'll look at this morning. And then we also have a union with him, and God wants us to realize that because it changes our life. The more we understand about the Word of God, the more faith you and I have to walk confidently and trustingly in what God has said and promised to each and every one of us as believers. So again, when we consider this, we want to know that God wants us to know that it's important that the believer believes this. And so when we consider this, what we believe about the Lord Jesus Christ, especially the death, burial, and resurrection, will have an impact on our lives according to what God has promised and given. So notice what we have here. Look at verse 1. He says, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?" So here was the idea. In other words, they're saying we're covered under the grace of God, and Paul was refuting this, and so therefore if I sin, well, that means just grace will always supersede sin. So if sin reaches this level, which is high, then grace is going to supersede that. Or if sin raises up to this level, grace will always outdo sin. So the thought was, and that we do praise the Lord for that, but that's not the excuse to say, well, then it doesn't matter if I live a sinful life, because grace will always outdo sin. And we know that's not what the Lord is teaching here, and we'll see that here in just a moment. But sometimes believers can have misinformation or a misunderstanding and believe something like that. And that's why it's in the Word of God to qualify and clarify exactly what God has intended. So notice what he says here in verse 2. He says, what does he say about that? He says, "God forbid." So we know it's in the Word of God. That's not the way to live. He says, "God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein?" And so he's saying, you and I are dead to sin. Isn't that amazing? And so somebody might say, well, let me ask you this. Does that mean that believers aren't tempted to sin? Unfortunately, no, that's not the case. We are tempted to sin, and we may even fall into sin. And we're definitely not talking about sinless perfection, but we are talking about what the work of God is through the Word of God in the life of the believer personally in their relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And we'll see that here as we continue on. So when we look at this, we want to know that we are baptized into his example and in fact, we're not baptized into the Lord's example, but we are baptized into his death, right? So the Lord is our example, but that's not what the Lord's talking about. But the Lord died on the cross, and so likewise we are also buried with him. So there was an event that took place, whether we understand it or not, doesn't change the facts. But the more we understand it, the freer you and I will live to the glory of the Lord and not be defeated by sin at every turn, at every whim that sin opens up an opportunity for us to travel down the road of sin. So he says this. He says, verse 3, "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his" what? We were baptized into his death. So did the Lord really die on the cross? And so when somebody dies, that's it. They're no longer stimulated. See, in other words, you can do all different kinds of things to a dead person. They're not going to respond, are they? Why? Because there's no life in them anymore. And so likewise also, when the believer dies in the Lord Jesus Christ, you and I have also been placed in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we have died in the Lord Jesus Christ with him. Now, we weren't there. This is a vicarious death, if you will, but nonetheless, it still is a death to the believer as well, or the Lord wouldn't have put that in his word. So the idea of baptized also has the idea of being grafted in, right? You and I have been grafted into the Lord Jesus Christ. So fathom this thought just for a moment. There are trees that really are certain kinds of fruit trees that they don't really bear a good fruit. But then they have what they would call the parent tree or the father tree or the mother tree, whatever it is that they call, that they would get a graft from. They would insert it into the other tree that doesn't bear good fruit. And then all of a sudden, they would unite together and that graft would produce a very good fruit, right? Because so you've taken part of the old plant and you've taken the new plant, and without the new plant, the old plant would have never been able to produce what it's able to do with the new plant. You and I have been given a new life in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we could never produce the grace and the mercy and the love of God unless the Lord, which is the new growth, something that he's given to us that we've never had before, has been planted into our life. And we've been planted together with him. And so we have been unified, if you will, or grafted in to the Lord Jesus Christ that enables the believer to produce a fruit that it could not normally produce on its own. So the Lord is wanting you and I to understand that he has blessed us with the ability to live a life that would honor and glorify him in his power by his working in our life. If we fail the Lord, you'll find that we're trying to do things in our own strength. It requires the same way we got saved, and that is by trusting the Lord, is the same way that you and I will have victory, and that is also by trusting the Lord to perform what he has promised into our lives, and that's what makes us different. Not our effort, not the Lord's example, but his death. And in that, the Lord wants us to die to self. So let me ask you a question. Are you familiar, I'm sure you are, with the first Adam? And that's who we were born from, right? All mankind came from Adam and Eve. And then there's the Bible calls a second Adam that you and I were grafted into and placed into. And so we identify with the first Adam. Well, what are some of the traits of the first Adam? He was a sinner, right? Simple enough, he was a sinner. And let me ask you this. Children, when they're 3 or 4 years old, what are they? They're sinners also, right? Amen? One brave person. They're sinners as well. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't love them and that they're not precious and all of those wonderful things, and they are all those things. But on top of that as well, they are sinners. The problem is at that age, they don't really know it, really, do they? I remember my wife and I had a class. We had about 5-year-olds, 4- and 5-year-olds in a junior church program, and I really enjoyed teaching them. We had a bus route, and they would come in. I had one girl, I can't remember her name right now because it's been so many years ago, back in the 90s. Anyway, she'd call me Uncle George. I don't know where she got that from, but she called me Uncle George. And anyway, I would have the opportunity, my wife would do an object lesson and different, you know, songs and things of that nature. And my part was to do about a little, believe it or not, a little 10, at the most, about 10 or 12 minute sermon. And I usually had an object lesson as well. And I would talk about sin and redemption and salvation. And I would inevitably have little kids afterwards want to talk to me about eternal life. And so I would talk with them, and you have to be very careful with them because they are very impressionable. So I would sit down and talk to them, and I'll never forget this one young fella, and maybe it was a little girl, I can't recall right now, but anyway, sat down and talked with them, and I said, do you know what sin is? Oh, yeah, and they could tell you lying, cheating, all these things are sin. And let me ask you, are you a sinner? Oh, no, I never sin, you know. And I understood where they were coming with, and I would always tell them, listen, you keep coming, and if you ever have any questions or any more concerns, I will talk to you again. So obviously, they're not really at the age of understanding or that age of accountability before the Lord, but they are learning. Our objective was to get children, when they're born, they are safe in the Lord, S-A-F-E. They're safe in the Lord until they come to the knowledge and understanding of what sin is. They are safe in the Lord, but we wanted to get them from being safe in the Lord that the moment they understood they were lost, that they would be saved, right? So have a little transition, a small transition period. We don't want them to be lost for a terribly long time. We wanted them to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. But I said all that to say, our nature is to sin. That's what we have. That's our identification. We identify. Now, I never have a problem with an adult when I tell them, do you know what sin is? And they would say, oh, yeah, I know what sin is. Have you ever sinned before? Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, no bones about it. I have sinned. We can all identify readily available to the first Adam. Yes, we're in Adam. Yes, we all sin, absolutely. But for the believer now, we are also in the Lord Jesus Christ now, aren't we? And we can identify with him in his righteousness and the new life, the changed life that God gives to you and I. So what does that mean? Well, here's what that means. Before I got saved and before we got saved, can I say that? Before we got saved, you and I were slaves to our old master, sin. And the old master could say, I would like for you to do this. And we would say, right to it. Right? We would say, no, it didn't bother us. We would say, oh, okay, you know, I don't see anything wrong with that, even though it may be against the Word of God. I'm not even familiar with the Word of God as a young person, but I would do things that I know now God would not have me do. I didn't know it before, but then when I got saved, now all of a sudden something happened. And that was that I was aware of the new man that God had made me. And then all of a sudden I had reservations and I was slow and I wasn't right to it when the old sin nature said, okay, this is what you're to do. And I would say, I'm different now. Something has changed. My relationship with God is brand new. And so that's what it means to be raised again in the newness of life. And so as we can, and by the way, you don't want to ever go back to that. Because we understand that it's destructive as a saved child of God. Now I understand some people can be given to certain things, but somebody in a situation that has not been involved with something that has gotten a grip on their life, all of a sudden we're slower to walk in the ways that we used to walk, or at least have reservations in it. So imagine this: imagine an individual committed a crime and was condemned to die because of their crime. And God, by his miracle wonder-working power, raised him from the dead and allowed him to live again. And the crime that he committed, he knows quite well, was what caused him to be brought to death. And he died. And he died. When he committed that crime, he died. And then God raised him up again from the dead. Do you think that person would be real quick to go back and commit the same crime? Because, they experienced what it was to actually pay for that penalty. Praise the Lord, you and I don't have to experience because God took our death for us. But in this particular case, this man, and so likewise, when you and I are saved, we ought to be, by the Spirit of God, reserved and slow, in fact, dead to the idea of going back to what would kill us or dishonor our God. Right, because we understand now, because of salvation, the difference that God has made in our lives. So now we can also identify with the Lord Jesus Christ. So follow this as we look at this. Notice what it says there in verse 3. Know ye not? Two things here I want you to see. First of all, one of the key ingredients to a successful Christian life is knowledge. Remember we talked about faith? You have to have knowledge, right? You have to know what you're believing in. And so notice what it says here in verse 3. Know ye not. You know what the Lord is saying through the Apostle Paul? Don't be ignorant of this. This is important. Know ye not. And then look at verse 16. What does it say there? The first three words. Know ye not. Right? Does it say that there? Okay, let me ask you this. Verse 6, what does it say? The first two words. Knowing this. Right? So the Lord is wanting us to be aware of some things. We'll look at that here in just a moment. Look at verse 9. Knowing that Christ, right? So the Lord is wanting us to know. In order to have faith, we have to know what God is talking about. In order to have faith in what God has promised to the believer, we have to know what He is talking about to understand that God has given to you and I a life that, in the grace of God, that can supersede and ride over sin. We no longer have to yield to sin. Sin had the right of way in the life of every believer before salvation. Sin had the right of way. We were doing that which we thought was right in our own eyes. Now we're doing that, or at least have the Spirit to guide us to say, we want to do what's right in God's eyes. Does that make sense? All right. So now we need to realize, as we see this idea, we find that we have a represented union with the Lord Jesus Christ. We are in Him. So again, notice verse 3 again. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ. So notice that we are into Jesus Christ. We're baptized into His death. So we're baptized into Christ. So baptism is important. This was not just some little idea that God had while He was creating His church on the shores of Galilee. This was something that He had planned in eternity past concerning our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. So now we want to look at this union that God wants us to realize that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. So our death is a death. We have to realize that. And that means that we are buried, and you don't bury somebody until they're dead, right? You don't bury a live person. I know that used to happen years ago. I don't know if you ever remember reading about that or seeing that. They drilled holes in the casket or something like that and had bells, because sometimes they'd put somebody in there. They weren't dead, and they'd ring the bell or whatever. I wouldn't want to be one of those people. That'd be a scary way to wake up. But listen, you and I in Christ have no life in the old man anymore. Now, we can yield to that. That's different, right? You know what it means to yield. You have to, on purpose, stop and give somebody else the right of way. And that's not what God wants us to do, to sin anymore. So grace is what changes our position to sin, and we're no longer the servant to sin. In fact, the Bible says we are what? Dead to sin. So that's important to understand. Otherwise, we still give sin the authority to rule and reign in our lives, and that's not what God wants us to do. So again, notice verse 3. He says, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death. So we've got that. That's pretty clear, right? We were baptized into the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, and when somebody is dead, there's no response. You can poke and prod. I don't know if you remember. I may have told you this years ago. I used to do brain death determinations in hospitals. And you remember, I don't know if they use these anymore, the reflex mallets, you know, the doctors had. There was like a triangle. It was a silver chrome on the end of it. It looked like a spoon on the end of it. I always wondered what that was for. I was doing a brain death determination in Coral Gables Hospital many years ago. And a doctor came, a neurologist came in, and the patient was dead, and I was doing an electroencephalogram on the patient. So I'm working on the head, and the doctor came in to do some of his testing, and I was on the side of the head of the patient, and he uncovered the feet, and he brought out that little hammer, and he was doing different tests. He even put a mirror up to the mouth to see if there's any breath or what have you, and he was tapping on him with the mallet in different places, no reflexes or what have you, and then he took that metal part of the spoon. He turned the hammer around, and he took the patient's toe. I'm on this side of where the head's at, and he took the toe and he dug that metal end, and he pulled so hard that his hand popped like that. I felt it when he did that. I went, oh man, that hurt. But see, he had no life in him, so there was no response at all. And the Lord is telling us, if we have the faith to believe it, that you and I also are dead to sin. So notice this. He says, again, we're going to put 3 and 4 together now. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, because of this truth that he just revealed to us, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead, so this is also another event that happened from the dead, by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. So fathom that thought just for a moment. You and I are buried with the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you remember? You remember when they buried Lazarus and the Lord was gone for 4 days? Do you remember what they said? If you roll back the stone, they say, "Oh, by this time he surely what? Stinketh," right? Well, listen. When I got saved, believe it or not, I died in the Lord, and the world knew it. You know why? Because all of a sudden I wanted to tell my friends about Jesus, and you know what? What they thought? He's dead. Their faces, I thought they were saying, "He stinketh." You know, I mean, get him away from us, right? They didn't want to hear what I had to say, and I was sharing the gospel message, the love of God. But see, there was a difference they saw in my, and by the way, they stopped inviting me. In fact, I still keep in contact, but it's maybe once a year because I grew up with these fellas since I was 6 years old. And so there's that camaraderie, but as far as doing anything together, very far and few in between, because I share the gospel with them every time I get the opportunity, but you know what they think about it? It doesn't smell very good to them, and that's because they have to be able to see their need of eternal life, and we want them to do that. So notice verse 4, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death. The Lord is saying, because of the baptism that you identified with the Lord, this has, now listen, that's a picture of what has already happened in salvation, that we make an outward profession of our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ when we follow him in scriptural baptism. So, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead, and I want to say that, stop right there just for a moment. So now the Lord had no life in him, and now he's been given life also, right? Likewise, you and I have, our old life has been crucified with the Lord, but now we've been given a new life that comes from God and the power of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. So notice what he says about that. Therefore, we are buried with him, so we are in unison with him, we identify with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead, how? By the glory of the Father. Do you know it? You know it glorified the Lord to raise up the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that good? Do you know it glorifies the Lord to raise us up also to walk in a new life? And that's what it says right there. Listen. Like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also. So we need to identify that we also should walk in newness of life. By the glory of the Father, not by our power. And I know when you get saved, you love the Lord and you want to do this, but we cannot do it in our power. It must be in the power of the Lord. And we have to approach that. We have to say, listen, we don't look at the Word of God and say, okay, I heard that, that's interesting, that was informative, and go on. We look at the Word of God. We were studying the book of Luke chapter 5 today, and we saw what the Lord was doing in Peter's life. Didn't we identify with Peter and say, I want that in my life? Right? That was a good story. That was a good history. No. I'm learning the truth of the Word of God so that it might be applied to my life. Right, Brother Roger says that we might learn something and take it out the door, take it with us, take the truth of the Word of God to our own personal lives that we might be different. Would it not glorify the Lord for you and I to understand in a greater way our salvation of what we've been given in the Lord Jesus Christ, that we might walk in the power of God in the world as we go out by the grace and glory of the Father to the glory of God? And so that's what the Lord is wanting us to understand. We have been planted together and grafted into the Lord Jesus Christ and raised up to walk in a new life. Look at verse 5 here. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his what? I didn't make that up. That's God's word. You and I are to walk in the power of the resurrection, not in the power of our flesh. So how does that happen? Well, first of all, we have to understand and know it to be true. And then secondly, we bring it to the Father. Lord, I want you to... Is that the promise of God?
Yes.
Aren't you glad?
Yes.
And so will God fulfill His promises to you and I?
Yes.
So all we have to do is say, Lord, I want you to do that in my life. I'm going to be completely reliant on you. Here's one thing I know. I don't have the power. But I know that my old man has been crucified with Christ. Do you know what that means? I could be like that patient was, where that doctor was poking and prodding and not respond. By the grace of God, I have been buried with Christ. And so when the world comes at me, do I have to respond? I don't. If I'm in the flesh, I will. I can do that. But if I'm walking in the Spirit and connected to the Lord and in that truth and understanding, I am a new man in the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't have to yield to sin anymore. Now, again, I want to clarify this. We're not talking about sinless perfection, but we are talking about victory. We sing that song, Victory in Jesus, right? This is how we have victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is how it's explained. And I want to qualify and clarify, we're not talking about sinless perfection. And so God doesn't want us to think in those regards, because we will deal with the flesh until the day we die. That's the truth. But let's not have this opinion. Well, I can't do anything about it anyway. I'm defeated. No, we're not defeated, are we? We're victors in the Lord Jesus Christ. So God wants us to understand the prize that you and I are running towards. Follow this thought. If we're not... We can run for the prize that the world has to offer, but it's temporal. We've already discussed that. That's not long lasting. But if we pursue the prize of a high calling of the believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, that's eternal life. And so this is pursuing this prize that we're planted together and we've been raised again to walk in a new life. Now watch this in verse 6. Ready? Knowing this, there's that knowledge again. What has happened? That our old man, that's the old man that was in Adam, is crucified with him, the Lord Jesus Christ, that the body of sin might be what? Who said that? The Lord, the Word of God, right? That the body of sin might be destroyed. So we have to understand that, know that, and then in knowledge, bring that before the Lord in faith, saying, Lord, this is the case in my case. I'm in Christ. This is already happened. Is this going to happen to the believer, or has it already happened? It's already happened. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth, from this moment on, we should not do what? We should not serve sin. If we have faith to believe that. And is it worthy to be trusted?
Yes.
Absolutely. It's in the Word of God.
Yes.
See, so if we say, well, I can't do that, who are we looking to?
Ourselves.
And who should we be looking to?
The Lord.
So can we do things in Christ? See, we can live a defeated life and do nothing for the Lord Jesus Christ unless we're willing to do and wanting to do business with the Lord. So, here it is, and God is working really through our new nature, is He not? That He's given to us in the Lord Jesus Christ. The nature of man without God is dead, is it not? And not only that, but we're also dead to the things that honor the Lord. But, though, and by the way, and we can't even understand them. Could you understand the things of God before salvation? No. But after we got saved, all of a sudden the Bible meant something different. Why? Because we've been given a new man. All of a sudden now we have an interest in the things of God because of the new man. So as we consider this, we want to realize, just like I was telling you, God has made a separation between the old man and the new man, between the living and the dead. Do you know, I was doing a little research here, and you know, Paul lived during the heyday of the Roman Empire. You know, you think of an amphitheater. They had amphitheaters there in Rome and in Italy. Do you know what they did in those amphitheaters? We think of the Colosseum. The amphitheaters were they had the gladiators there. And people were cheering and going crazy when they were decapitating, they were chopping people's arms off, they were doing all kinds of cruel things, and they were enjoying that stuff. They were cheering that. I can't even watch. How could you watch that? They were mutilating people and they were killing them and they were cheering them. And then when you and I get saved from the world, we no longer want part with that. Can you imagine the believers in the day of Paul? Can you imagine what their neighbors? Hey, I missed you at the amphitheater last weekend. What happened? I don't want any more to do with that. What do you mean? I've died to that. I'm now alive in Christ. I have a new purpose. I have a new love. I have a new pursuit, and that is my relationship with the Lord God himself. And so likewise, God wants us to have a pursuit in him that changes our goals and our ideas and our lives for the glory of God. So notice here, verse 7. He that is dead is freed from sin. Is that true? And are you and I dead in the Lord Jesus Christ? And by the way, that's really our burial, isn't it? I mean, we died, we've been buried. You don't dig somebody back up that's been dead. We don't want to dig up our old life. We want to leave that in the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, it doesn't tell me if it took long. When you got saved and started to tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ, did it take them long to figure out that you were no longer part with them? And did it take you very long to figure out you were no longer part with them and they were no longer part with you? That's a big difference, isn't it? That's the difference that God makes in our lives. So notice again here in verse 7. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead, and we are dead, but now if we be dead with Christ, are we dead with Christ? If we be dead with Christ, notice, we believe that we shall also live how? We shall also live with him. See, so now we've got this knowledge that I know we've read before, but now do we want it to apply to our lives? Do we want our life to be with him? Do we want to live with him? Notice again that verse 9, knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more. Listen to this. Death hath no more dominion over him. Is that true? Death hath no more dominion over the Lord Jesus Christ. For in that he died unto sin how many times? Once. But in that he liveth to who? He lives to who? God. He lives to God. Look at verse 11. Listen to this. Notice this unity. Notice this understanding. Likewise, also reckon, taken, that word reckon is an accounting term, take into account ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God. How? Through Jesus Christ our Lord. So that means that did the Lord walk in sin? Neither should we. Neither should we. If we're in Christ. It's so easy. Oh yeah, I'm in Christ. I'm a believer. But where's the accountability? Well, the accountability is in the Word of God. And the accountability comes from knowledge and understanding my position in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then now we have that knowledge. Now what are we going to do? Are we going to believe it and trust in it and allow it to change our lives? So he says, likewise, do the same. Notice verse 12. Let not sin, therefore, because of our position in Christ, let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. So he's talking about falling into lust, isn't he? The things that, the passions. Neither yield your members as instruments unto unrighteousness, of unrighteousness, unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead. So we died with Christ, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. That changes everything. And we're almost finished here. Notice what it says. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under what? So if we want to proclaim grace, we also have to say that sin doesn't have dominion over us if we're under grace. That is the evidence of grace. Can you and I really make a profession of the grace of God being in our lives if we're living like the world? What would the world think of that? Compromised. Hypocrite. Forget about it. That's really what has given Christianity a bad name, and I believe maybe because believers don't understand or people aren't saved. One or the other. Does God want you and I to be ignorant? He says, know ye not, doesn't he? No, this is important to know. So this morning, when we consider this, the lost, as a lost person, we can't understand this, can we? As a lost person. But what did we do to understand it? We trusted the Lord and got salvation and understood this. So if there was somebody here this morning that didn't understand this, they can understand it by trusting the Lord Jesus Christ who died on the cross to pay for their sins, our sins. And by faith we receive that. Are we planted together in the Lord Jesus Christ? Absolutely. And God wants to raise us up to his honor and glory. So this morning, as we consider what it means to be baptized into Jesus Christ, God has a purpose for it, doesn't it? And for the believer to understand this in such a powerful way that causes us to be a new person in the power of God. So this morning, God wants us to be a witness of the wonder-working, transforming power of salvation in all of our lives. And if something is missing, if that's not taking place, then either we've not taken it by faith before the Lord to do that in us, or we need to trust the Lord as our Savior. And if that's the case, that is a dire need. Both of them are dire needs as a saved child of God for the glory of God. But then for those that don't know or don't have that assurance that they might have eternal life. And the Lord says to everybody, come, right? He accepts everybody. Come and put your faith and trust in me. And he says, be saved today. And to the child of God, he says, come and walk with me and be empowered by the glory of the Father to honor the Lord. Would you stand? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your mercy and grace and your goodness and your love toward us, Lord, that you continually want us to understand more about the salvation that you've given to us. Bless the invitation. And Lord, if there's anyone that does not have the assurance of eternal life, may they know that I would be glad to show them from your word what must be done, what they must do to receive you, the gift that you have paid for of eternal life. And Lord, for those of us who do know you, may you draw our hearts to you. And we'll give you all the praise, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.